that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph laid lying in a manger. And the words about which I want particularly to speak this evening are these words in verse 7 of that tremendous chapter. There was no room for them in the end. There was no room for them in the end. Now let us ask God's blessing on our thinking together this evening. Let us ask that God will speak his own word to every single one. Let us pray. Let us spend just a moment in quiet prayer. Brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The whole world is preparing again to celebrate Christmas. Here in our own city, and I know in our own homes and in our own preparation, most of us are beginning to think about this Christmas season and about all the things that have to be done before the 25th of December. I think it's true to say that in Scotland, Christmas is coming to be celebrated more and more every year. And the preparations for Christmas, the decorations and the tinsel and the presents and the Christmas card, all those preparations for Christmas seem to be getting earlier as the years pass by. You know that the story of Christmas is both the happiest and the most tragic story in the whole of the world's history. I sometimes wonder how many of the people who are preparing now to celebrate this festival ever really pause to think what it truly means. I sometimes wonder how many of us We're going to be taking part in all the external celebrations of this great festival. I sometimes wonder how many of us have ever really stopped for a moment to think and to ask ourselves what is the real meaning of this festival which is celebrated throughout the whole world. It is the happiest and the most tragic event that ever happened in the world's history. The coming of Jesus into the world is the happiest event because this is what happened at Bethlehem. At that moment and at that time, God Himself, in His infinite and immeasurable love, came down among men. This is why Christmas is the happiest time in all the world. Love came down at Christmas. This is why the hearts of men are preparing to rejoice at this Christmas season. This is why the whole world lifts up its voice in adoration and praise, because we remember at this Christmas time the coming of God Himself into the world. This is what Christmas means. That the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who created the world and all that is therein, the God who dwells in inaccessible light and full of glory, who made the vast immensities of space, who made the beauty of the flowers and the grandeur of the sea and the hills, this God, this holy, eternal God, came down on earth to dwell because He loves me so. This is the happiest thing that ever happened in the world. That God came in His Son, Jesus Christ, because He's concerned for the world, because He's concerned about you, because He cares for you. God came in Christ of Bethlehem. But men and women and young people, if Christmas is the happiest event in the world's history, it is also in some senses the most tragic. And it is the most tragic because when God came at that first Christmas time, there were so few people to receive it. When God came into the world at Bethlehem in His Son, the vast majority of the people failed to receive Him. He came unto His own, says John at the beginning of his Gospel, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Here is this verse of our text tonight. She brought forth her firstborn son. The eternal God come into the world to give Himself for men. The eternal God come to die for you. The eternal God, driven by His love into the world, caring for you. And what happened? She wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. On the night that Jesus Christ came into the world, the door was shut in His face. On the night when Christ came into the world, there was no home and no heart open for Him. On the night when Christ was born, He was born in the bleak, bare beauty of a stable, because the door is open. And you know, young people and men and women, it's still the same. Jesus comes not only at that first Christmas time, he comes to our lives every time the gospel is preached. We were singing at the beginning of this rally the night because he lives, and that's the message of the Bible. Jesus Christ is alive. The one who came at Bethlehem and died on the cross for the sins of the world, rose from the dead and is alive forever. And the one who came that first Christmas day at Bethlehem and who walked the road to Palestine is here tonight in this church according to his promise. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of this same Jesus. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, is standing by your side now." As he came at that first Christmas time, he comes to you tonight. Have you received him? Have you received him? Or will the doors of your life be closed like the door of the inn when Jesus comes tonight and speaks his word to you? There was no room for Jesus Christ when he came at the first Christmas time. Is there room tonight in your life for Jesus? There are in this church tonight a great number of young people and men and women who have opened the door of their life to Christ. These are the people who, when Christmas comes, will see beyond the tinsel and the candles and the parties and the gifts. These are the people who will see beyond these external things to the thing which is at the heart of Christmas, God's gift of his Son. And these are the people who will join with the angels in this great song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men of good will," because they have received Christ. But I dare to suggest that in this church tonight there are a great number of people who have not received Jesus. I dare to suggest that in this church tonight there are men, women, and young people who have heard his voice time and again, who have heard his knocking on the door of their life, who in their own churches or in this rally or out there in the street, because Christ comes to us at many places and at many times, have heard the voice of Christ, but you have not yet made room for Jesus Christ in your life. I know that there are some people here tonight who, like the folk who were there when he came first, have not received him. And I want to ask tonight this simple question: why do people shut the door against Jesus? Why reject? And I want you to look for the answer of the innkeeper in Bethlehem. And I think if you look at this innkeeper, you might find perhaps the reason why perhaps you have closed the door against Christ. Why did the innkeeper say that night there was no room for Jesus? Why do you think when Mary and Joseph came tired and weary and knocked at the door of that inn, why do you think that man said, "I'm sorry, you can't get in"? I think perhaps the answer to our own problem is here in this innkeeper, and I'm going to suggest to you three simple reasons why I think this man rejected Jesus. One of these reasons could be yours. I think, first of all, he shut the door on Christ because he was too busy. Because he was too busy. You can imagine what it was like that night in Bethlehem. You remember the decree of the Emperor Caesar Augustus had gone out that the whole world should be taxed. And every man had to go to his own city to pay his taxes. And all the people who had been born in Bethlehem had to return to Bethlehem in order to pay their tax there and have the census taken there. And you can imagine that night in Bethlehem, there were multitudes of people that travelled all day, some of them for weeks on end, so that they might come back to Bethlehem to meet the demands of Caesar Augustus. You can imagine that night in Bethlehem, there was a great crowd of people looking for accommodation. Bethlehem was a boom town that night. Every corner in the town was filled with travellers who had come back to pay their taxes. And you can imagine that the innkeeper in Bethlehem was as busy as he had ever been in his life before. And you can imagine Mary and Joseph, ordinary people, a weary, pale woman, and an ordinary carpenter. You can imagine Mary and Joseph coming and knocking on the door of the inn that night. You can imagine the innkeeper occupied with the 1,001 things that had to be done, and somebody coming and saying, "The man and his young wife there, and they want a bed for the night." You can imagine this man saying, "Who are they? Mary and Joseph? I've never heard of them. I'm too busy. Tell them there's no room. Shut the door." He was too busy to take Jesus in. A friend of mine, a minister, has a picture in the study of his man's which has always intrigued me. It's a picture of a Glasgow street. There, vividly drawn, it might be Argyle Street. There, vividly drawn, this great picture is a scene of the hurrying multitude in the busy Glasgow street. Cars and tram cars and people rushing to and fro and in and out of shops. Hundreds of people pressing about their business. And in the middle of the picture there is the figure of Jesus. And in that great throng of people there's not one person looking at the Son of God except just one, a nurse in her uniform with her eyes turned to the Son of God. Isn't that true? That night in Bethlehem when Jesus came the first time, the people were too busy to receive him, the innkeeper was too occupied. Is it not true tonight, still in Glasgow? Could it be true of your life tonight? You've got so many things to do. Here's a man who's so busy making money that he's got no time to think of God. Here's a man so busy finding pleasure that he's got no time to think of Christ. He's too busy. Too busy fulfilling his own desires. Too busy to receive Jesus into his life. Here's someone carving a career, perhaps, started at the university. Someday, he says, I may have time for Christ, but not tonight. I'm too busy to be bothered at this point. And so the door is shut against the Son of God. Jesus himself once told a terrifying story of a busy man. A man who had been busy to some purpose because he had amassed a great fortune. You remember the parable Jesus told of the rich fool? He had been careful about the cultivation of his broad acres, and he had gathered in the great harvest so that his barns and storehouses were filled to overflowing. Oh, he had something to show for his busyness, that man. He had a great bank balance. And no doubt he was highly respected in the community where he lived. And he could afford to look out over the things that he had amassed with his busyness. And do you remember what that man said? Saul, he said, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. You don't need to be so busy now. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And do you remember the word that came from God in the night to that foolish man? The word that came was this, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? My young friend, perhaps you've been too busy to receive Jesus Christ. Too busy with your own concerns. Too busy with your own pleasure. Too busy with your own desires. Too busy carving your career. Too busy making money. Too busy doing this and that and the next thing, and you've said, someday I'll think of Jesus when I've got more time, perhaps when I'm older I'll think of him. And you've shut the door of your life in Christ. I plead with you tonight to pause in your busyness. Stop for a moment and listen. Tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is knocking on the door of your life. Will you let him in? Or will you shut the door? Why did this man close the door of his inn against Jesus? Because he was too busy. Here's the second reason, I think, why Christ was shut out from men that night. I think because this man wasn't prepared to pay the price. Because the innkeeper wasn't prepared to pay the price of receiving Christ. You know what it would have meant for the innkeeper to admit Mary and Joseph into the inn that night. It would have meant turning someone out. Someone who might have been of considerable importance. And you can imagine what that would have meant for the innkeeper himself. It would have meant unpopularity for him to have taken this course. And this man wasn't prepared to pay the price of receiving Christ that night, of making room for Christ, whatever it cost. He didn't want to lose custom, and he lost Christ. Young people, I'm here tonight to say this, that to receive Jesus Christ always means giving up things that we may count tremendously important. To receive Jesus Christ means to give up things which we may love very much indeed. But Jesus himself said, he that would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and man. Christ says, I want all of you. And if you're going to be my disciple, Jesus says, you've got to be prepared to pay the price. Christ never accepts any man on false pretenses. And the innkeeper wasn't prepared to pay the price of receiving Christ. And how many young people are kept back from him for this very reason? How many men have I known myself who who realize that to accept Christ and to come out for him and to take their stand for Christ means to be marked off from the common run of humanity. They know that to be a Christian is to belong to a minority movement. They know that to be a Christian is to be a marked man. It's to be set apart from the vast majority of people, of the people we work beside at the office, of the people beside us in school, of the men in the same club. They know that to be a Christian is to be regarded as something kind of queer. And they are not prepared to pay the price of following Christ. And so they shut the door in his face. Perhaps you've been like that. Time and again you've heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying to you, I want you for my servant. May have been that there's a fellow here tonight who's been called to the mission field. It may have been there's a girl here tonight who's been called to be a nurse. It may be there's a man here tonight who's been running away from Christ for years because they're not prepared to pay the price that Christ demands. And so you've shut the door on the face of Jesus. Takes courage to be a Christian because Christ asks us for everything that we've got. If there is anyone here tonight like that, if there is a fellow or a girl who has shut the door on Christ because they want to pay the price, I want to say to you tonight, my young friend, whoever you are, listen. A young man came to Jesus once, just like you, and he asked Jesus a terribly important question. He said to Jesus, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to that boy, if you're going to be my disciple, I've got to have all that you are and all that you have, everything. Everything that is you must be given to me. And the boy couldn't take it. He couldn't take it, you remember, and he went away sorrowful. Jesus loved that lad as much as he loves you tonight, and he wants you tonight as much as he wanted that young man. But the boy wasn't prepared to pay the price because he had great possessions, we read. He wouldn't give up his possessions for Christ. He worshipped his possessions and he wasn't going to pay the price of discipleship. You say to me, Mr. Allen, you're talking about the wrong man. I don't have any possessions, don't you? What about the good opinion of the men in the golf club? The men that you're afraid to say that you're a Christian in front of. What about these fellows in the place where you work, go out for a pint on a Friday, and you've never yet had the courage to say no because you want their good opinion? That's a possession, and perhaps you're not prepared to give that up for Jesus. What about that pride in you? That pride that keeps you from coming forward perhaps at one of these meetings, which says that kind of stuff may be all right for the Ten Paul and the Salvation Army, but I'm a cultured man. That kind of thing's not for me. And you know perfectly well, my friend, that this is not what's keeping you back from Christ. It's your pride that won't let you bend the knee to the Son of God. That's a possession. Oh, whatever your possessions are tonight, whatever they are, maybe some secret sin that's keeping you back that you're not going to give up for anything. Whatever your possession is tonight that's keeping you back from Christ, I plead with you, my friend, give it up and come to him. Because anything that Jesus takes from you, believe me, he will give you back 100-fold. Christ is no man's debtor. hope that you give him your life tonight, and he will give you eternity in exchange. This man wasn't prepared to pay the price. He kept his custom, and he lost his Savior. Why did he shut the door on Jesus? I want to suggest this last reason. He was too busy. He wasn't prepared to pay the price, and this finally, and perhaps most important of all, he shut the door on Christ because he didn't recognize who was there. Because he didn't recognize who was there. I suppose this innkeeper, like every other Jew, was expecting the Messiah. Every Jew in Palestine was looking for the Messiah, and every Jew all over the world. That's the thing that they were looking for more than anything else, the coming of Messiah. And they thought they knew the kind of person that the Messiah was going to be. The one who was going to solve all their problems and restore the ruined fortunes of Israel was going to be a great king. He was going to come in power and destroy his enemies. This was the kind of Messiah the Jews expected. And so when a carpenter and a pale young woman knocked at his door one night, the last thing in the world that this innkeeper expected was that the one who wanted admittance was the Messiah of God. He didn't recognize Christ. And so tragically he missed the greatest opportunity of his life because he didn't know that God himself was on his doorstep. If that man had known that the Messiah, the Son of God, was wanting in that night, if that man had known who was in the doorstep, do you think he would have kept the door shut? Do you think he wouldn't have found room in the inn? My friend, tonight, think for a moment. Who is he who wants your life? It's not me. It's not the Foreign Mission Committee. It's not the church that wants your life. The one who's standing tonight beside you, the one who wants admittance to your life tonight, do you know who he is? He's God. Savior. Unto you is born a Savior. Savior, Christ the Lord, the one who saves us from our sin, the one who went to Calvary and died so that we might be forgiven, the one who gives us power to become the sons of God, the one who gives us peace in our hearts because we are at one with God. This is the one who's knocking on the door of your life tonight. The one who gives us grace to be the men and women that God meant us to be. The one who's establishing his kingdom in the world so that the day is coming when all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. This is the one who's standing at the door of your heart tonight. He's calling you to share with him in his great work for the redemption of humanity. The innkeeper didn't recognize him, but you know who it is, don't you? Of course you do. It's the Son of God. Tonight, Christ stands at the door of your life. He comes not just at Christmas time. Jesus Christ comes every time the gospel is preached. You've heard his voice before, have you not? Perhaps you've been too busy. Perhaps you haven't been prepared to pay the price. Perhaps you didn't know who was there. But tonight again, Jesus Christ is standing beside you, whoever you are, young or old. And he says to you tonight, behold, I stand at the door of God. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What are you going to do tonight, Lord Jesus? Shut the door. Say there's no room. Or are you going to get out of that seat tonight where you're sitting and make your way down to the front and say, the door of my life is open to the King? What are you going to do tonight? There's only two things you can do. You can sit tight there and say, with the innkeeper, no! I am too busy for Christ. I am not prepared to pay the price that he asks. And anyhow, who is it that's there? You can do that. Are you going tonight to shut the door of your life in Christ, or are you going to come out of your seats? Many of you tonight, some for the first time, some perhaps tonight at this Christmas time, yielding themselves in a new dedication and saying, I'm prepared to pay the price. Which is it going to be tonight for you? Are you going to stand up tonight and come down these stairs? I know it's hard. God knows it's hard. But this is what Christ asks. There's nothing magical about coming forward, but this is a token and a pledge and a symbol that there's been a covenant tonight between you and God. Tonight I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. And I'm going to ask you to come and stand at the front as a token of your response to the Lord Jesus. And as you come and stand, you will be saying this: come into my life, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Will you come? Will you come tonight? Will you come now? Whoever you are, is the room for Christ made it tonight. Let us pray. Christ, speak to us all. Bring us all to thyself, that we may open the door of our life and receive thee as our Savior and Lord, and serve thee as our King. Now, while every head is bowed and no one moving around, while every head is bowed and everyone in prayer, I'm going to ask the choir to sing, and while the choir is singing, I want you to come forward and stand in front. If you have heard tonight the call of Christ, the stewards will show you, if you're sitting in the gallery, how to get down. Don't hesitate, don't delay tonight. Make this rally the time of your eternal choice, young or old. Perhaps you've come before. Perhaps tonight you want to make a new start with Christ. Perhaps tonight you want to begin for the first time with Him. Whoever you are, church member or non-church member, man or woman, young or old, fellow or girl, make this tonight the hour of your eternal choice. Let Jesus in tonight. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, the choir will sing softly that great hymn of consecration, just as I am. While the choir is singing, you come.